Welcome to SDI Encounters, a podcast from Spiritual Directors International. I'm Matt Whitney. Thank you so much for listening. I offer a heartfelt welcome to new listeners and a welcome back to existing subscribers. If you like this show, please do click on the subscribe button. Here we offer a wide range of perspectives, stories, and conversations centered around community, spiritual companionship, and spiritual care. You'll find additional information, including videos, webinars, and digital publications at our website, sdiworld.org. Support for this podcast comes from interspiritual meditation that draws from the ancient contemplative wisdom of many profound, sacred, and secular traditions. This online course provides a 7-step learning process for creating a personalized meditation practice. Registration includes an 8-week guided course and an annual membership. Your spiritual journey is unique. Chart your course with interspiritual meditation. Find out more at www.spiritualpaths.net. Listeners can use promo code C20327B4B2 to receive a discount on registration. In our second episode, we present part 2 of our staff conversation with the executive director of SDI, Reverend Sefu Anil Singh Malares. Our events and journeys manager, Christine Herbert, begins by asking Reverend Sefu about his own spiritual companions and mentors. The answer is somewhat surprising, and it leads us into a conversation about the divine voice, that which speaks to our truest selves, and how we can better listen and attune ourselves to that spark within us, as well as listening to and attuning others to that spark within them, and together to connect to the deeper presence that is within and beyond ourselves.
I love the diversity of religions and perspectives that come into SDI. And I'm always interested in people's personal stories and maybe what brought them into this organization. And I'm wondering if there's somebody in your life that served as a model of spiritual companionship for you, either in an official capacity or an unofficial capacity, that really influenced you and maybe even changed the direction of your life.
Yes. I mean, there were a number of people.
Sometimes hard to put your finger on just one influence.
Because they all kind of feed off me and feed off each other. So I had a philosophy professor in college. His name was Richard Taylor, and he was a former Jesuit priest and, you know, a beekeeper and kind of a hippie.
Yeah.
And, always had his dog. He brought his dog to class and had his tea. He would always pour his tea. And he was a mystic, and he was, even though he was rooted in the Catholic tradition actually, and in reaction to it, because he wasn't a Jesuit priest anymore, and he actually was quite critical of that tradition. That's where he was rooted. But he gave me a sense of mystical awareness. You know, when I read what the Buddha taught, that the book, the most important book I've ever read in my life, it was a recognition. Mm-hmm. It was in the words that I remembered who I was, right? It wasn't a voyage of discovery. It was a voyage of remembrance. It's kind of remembering who we really are. Mm-hmm. And so I guess to answer your question, the most compelling voice is the voice that was always within me, that's always within me, speaking to me. And that's not my voice, that's a universal voice, that's I don't want to say it's God's voice, but it's, you know, it's a voice, we sometimes call it that little voice, the little voice inside of us, which should be a really big voice because we should be listening to it. And it's that voice that knows, no, what are you doing here? You know, and you go, shh, shut up. You know, I'm going to do what I want to do. And it just goes, no. You know, you're missing something here. And so I think my path towards spiritual growth is to increasingly listen to that voice and to become one with it. And it's been a lifelong journey. But outward forms, yes. I mean, there's the Buddha as a historical figure and all those texts. There's this philosophy professor. There's various mystics that I've encountered in my life who all basically speak beyond themselves, who speak beyond their own bodies and their own minds and their own... They just are good at pointing the way, you know, to a deeper truth beyond themselves.
Okay, that sense of oneness.
Yeah.
Like, I am me, and I inhabit a body, and I think a lot of things from my perspective. Like, how am I supposed to experience oneness? Or what am I supposed to, like, imagine myself out of body, out of mind?
So, we all operate under the not unreasonable assumption that we are discrete, separate individuals. We have discrete, separate bodies and seemingly minds and perceptions and awareness and emotions that seem ours, you know, very much ours. And yet when you start stripping those layers away, what are those emotions? So we talked about concern with life and death. We have issues of love, relationships, emotions, sometimes negative emotions, anger, family, friends, connections of all sorts. And as we start to strip all of that, all those layers away, that truism about we're all the same under the skin, regardless of where we come from, what culture or what faith tradition, become increasingly clear. And it's almost as if we're all manifestations of one being that's existed for a long time and will exist for a long time after this particular body. Mm-hmm. And we're just given kind of like a viewing permission, if you will, to take little snapshots as individuals. But we're kind of like a collective, collective mind. And in fact, very, very few people can operate completely alone and detached from others. And, you know, we all come out of the wombs of our mothers. And we, you know, if you take that even further down, we're at the most primal level, at the genetic level, at the cellular level, we are interconnected at a very, very primal level. And so that's the answer that's coming to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like I come from a Christian background and tradition, and that's my sort of mother tongue, right? Yeah. And so when Jesus talks about being the vine, like I am the vine and you are the branches. Mm-hmm. And in my tradition that gets interpreted, you know, as like Jesus and Christians or the church. Yeah. But do you hear that and sense that that has a broader application in the way that you sort of described in terms of oneness?
Sure.
Connection?
I mean, you know, I'm also a trained theologian, so I can, you know, if I put on my Christian hat for a second, I can say, well, Jesus is the Son of Man as much as the Son of God, right? Mm-hmm. And there's ample scriptural references to both of those terms, and in fact they become interchangeable at one point, right? Man and God, and so me and you and thou and I, right? To quote Martin Buber. So I repeat your question.
I think this applies to this community, right? Like I come with my traditions and my language that speak to this
I maybe have known it as only being applicable to that tradition, that faith. But within this community, I can bring those traditions and that language, mm-hmm. and can I see it like in a broader context, yeah. as meaning, yeah. like if I think like this language is for this smaller community, but when I come here, I hear like in different languages we're talking about similar things.
Yeah, I think Richard Rohr spoke about it beautifully at our conference in St. Louis, and talked about these languages as expressions, kind of outward expressions of an inner truth, right? And in fact, he identified, and you know, he's a Franciscan, so Saint Francis is kind of one of the few mystics. I'm going to use a French term par excellence, but that's terrible. Mm-hmm. By definition of the Christian tradition, and so I think there the deeper wellspring is that mystical tradition, and you can find that stripping away of the layers of language, mm-hmm. which are kind of outward cover. It's kind of like the wrapper on a present. You have to take the wrapper off to be able to see what's inside. And the inside is this mystical wellspring that is the commonality that we all share, regardless of what language we speak, particular religious language or spiritual language or any other kind of language. So I'd say that those languages are always kind of floating around the surface, you know, not they at best they help us go into that immersion experience where we go deeper, where we go beyond them, and they point to that deeper experience. And I think for me, that's my understanding, put my Christian hat on, of God from a Christian standpoint and the role of Christ in pointing the way to that deeper truth. Or, you know, in a Buddhist context, it's the stripping away of attachments and the acknowledgement of impermanence that points us to this deeper essence. And in the Sufi tradition, it's the, you know, stop talking and trancing and using music and using movement to get in touch with that deeper state. So I think the mystical wellspring is what unites us across all of these traditions and the languages that we speak. And what I love about SDI is that, you know, what we're trying to create is kind of United Nations of spiritual companionship, if you will, where multiple religious and faith languages are spoken, and we're all helping each other learn each other's languages with a full awareness that what they're pointing to is the deeper truth that we all share.
Yeah. I think it's worth mentioning here something that it's a concept that Sefu brought to the organization. And I guess you've been here about 3 years, Sefu?
I'm in my third year.
Third year. Yeah. So, and it's the public square of spiritual companionship. And in this public square, the key concept is welcome, which fits exactly with what he was saying. Everyone is welcome here. Not just companions, but seekers to enter with their spiritual tradition or inclination. So you don't have to have a religion. You just have, this is where I feel spiritual. You enter with your tradition or inclination intact. All you have to do is show respect for other people. Don't cause any harm, and you can be yourself. So you don't have to come in and be as a Christian and say, oh gosh, I can't really talk about how much I love Jesus because they're Buddhists here and Hindus. You get to do that. You just have to be respectful, curious, and listen to others. And therefore, you get to grow from other traditions and people of different backgrounds and maintain where it is you've come from and that strong tradition that might really support you in many ways and define you in many ways. So it's the best of both worlds. And along those lines, I'd just like to mention that March 14th through the 17th in 2019, Spiritual Directors International is having our annual conference in Bellevue, Washington. And if you're not from Washington, it's a beautiful, amazing city close to the mountains near Seattle. So that's where you'd fly into. And it's for all spiritual companions and all seekers. And my last question for Sefu is, the title of this conference is Seeking Connection Across Generations. We have amazing speakers, but I wondered, because you have so much experience as a companion and leading us as SDI, what are you particularly looking forward to at this conference in March?
Seeking Connection is all about community. So coming together as a community is one of the main objectives, if not the main objective, is for all of us to be together and to find sustenance and support in each other. To do it across generations is a way to honor our elders and honor our youngers, if you will. It's recognizing that we all have that wisdom. And, you know, sometimes you can see it from both sides. You can see young people going, oh, gosh, that person knows so much, and I want to be like her, or I want to aspire to live a life like she does. And you also see it in the other way around, going, you know, an older person going, I remember when I felt that way, mm-hmm. right? I remember when I saw the world fresh and without baggage and without hindrance and lit up like a Christmas tree. And so my hope is that by having that dialogue across generations, we can feed each other across these somewhat arbitrary divisions of age and experience, and recognize that everybody has wonderful spiritual vitality to bring to the table, and that by bringing it all together from our various perspectives, we're going to create a much more satisfying banquet for everybody.
So somebody comes to the website and they see this thing of becoming a member of SDI. What does that mean to become a member? And what can they expect from that membership, depending on if they're a seeker or a spiritual companion?
Or a school.
Or a school, or an organization, church. You know, we have many options.
Yeah.
A student.
Right, I think you're answering the question. I always emphasize that we are a community, and that by joining SDI, you're joining a community. The community expresses itself in lots of different ways. It's the publications and a way to connect with others, other authors, other voices in our midst by being stimulated by their thoughts and the art and the poetry and the invitation to dialogue and the invitation to learning. So it's that. It's education as well through our spiritual journeys and through our webinars and through our seminars and workshops and through our yearly conference as well. All of those are invitations into community, into a community of learners, into a community of spiritual companions. So it's all of those things, and it's also an invitation for you to unfurl yourself, to unspool yourself, unburden yourself in some ways, and discover who you really are. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's why $79 is really not much to ask. but that's really what I'm hoping SDI eventually means to our prospective members is just an opportunity for them to explore themselves and to explore their relationship with something much bigger than who they are as individuals by joining this community, this supportive community.
Mm-hmm. So as far as membership, whether you are, it seems like a seeker who is somebody who is just for the first time exploring the sense of deeper meaning in their life, or a spiritual director who's very rooted, some wisdom, some experience, mm-hmm. and they're coming into the same community, the same membership ask of them. Like, are the resources the same? Is the experience similar?
That's interesting. What came to my mind is parents and children, right? And so for those of us who are fortunate enough to be parents, it kind of operates on multiple levels, because yes, you're teaching them to walk and to speak and to behave, and you know, but you're also experiencing the world with them and through them in many ways. That sense of wonder that they have is contagious and allows you to remember, you know, wow, look at us, right? I mean, look at these sentient beings. Look how complicated we are, and these eyes and this brains. And I mean, we're all walking miracles, really, considering the alternatives. And so I think it's kind of like coming together in a family. And you know, as I said, it can operate on many different levels, but a brand new seeker is like a child in some ways. And that child has a wisdom and a wisdom of awareness that comes from the freshness of her or his outlook. That's something that we've forgotten. So it can teach us older folks to remember that sense of wonder and freshness, and vice versa. The others are like, how do I climb up the mountain? You know, it's like, well, there's this tool. Yeah, oh, well, what does that tool do? It's like, well, here, you know, you go like this, bing. And so it's joining the community of SDI is very similar. It's a place where everybody kind of comes in and brings their varying perspectives and languages and orientations and talents. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we create a harmonious symphony. And even if we don't create a harmonious symphony, you know, we learn through atonality. Right? You go, oh, that doesn't sound right. Let's try again. You know, let's keep practicing until it is harmonious. Mm-hmm. And so it's an opportunity to practice. It's an opportunity to be in communion, to be in community, and it's an opportunity to practice together, no matter at what level we are, no matter what stage of our lives we are. Mm.
Like
that's the spiritual direction, public square.
And it also feels like, just as an organization, that SDI sort of iterates as it goes in a lot of ways. That it is.
Yeah, we're making stuff up as we go along.
Well, even more than that, like we're
how
totally
true that is, but that don't yeah.
But even a sense that, like, the people who are here are. And I'm not talking about staff, but some staff, but like just people who are part of the organization make the organization, right? Like it is its current iteration today.
Yes.
But we learn from each other, and it becomes something else tomorrow based on us listening to those resonances and those tonalities types of things.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I like the, you know, I'm a musician, and so I like the musical analogy. We're all instruments, right? And it's God is playing us. And I've always used this analogy that the best that we can do as instruments of God, to use that analogy, is to be as clean and polished as we can. So when that breath goes through us, the sound that comes out is clean and pure and gentle and moving. Or sometimes it's not gentle, sometimes it's bombastic, but that it's impactful in lots of different ways. And the community is like a community of musicians, some learning, some master musicians, some conductors, some composers, and some just spectators. because they don't have that musical sensibility other than being able to listen for it. They don't have the ability to perform, but they have the ability to appreciate the music. And so there's an opportunity for everybody to play a part in that symphony.
Mm-hmm. One other thing to mention about the community, of course, we're here in the SCI headquarters here in the U.S. in Washington State, but we have a global presence. We're in something like 43 countries around the world. So when we talk community, we're getting input and perspectives from all over the world, a lot of different, not just spiritual traditions, but environmental and social traditions as well. So we're getting a lot of different perspectives on pretty much every part of SDI and our offerings.
Yeah, and I think embedded in that is an invitation, right, to people to feed into the organization, to bring their gifts and talents and do some things here. What might that look like for somebody who doesn't want to just like receive from the organization? Like, I'm buying a membership because I want to receive presents, the magazine, and I want to receive this, but like, how can I actually give into SDI and help shape it, as it were, to be that instrument, right? We need an oboe, we need a clarinet, we need a guitar, whatever.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, it reminds me of, and I'm not sure why I'm stuck on the family analogy today, but, you know, it reminds me of being young and going, will I ever find the right person for me, right? Mm-hmm. Someone who is right for me. And I think it was my mother or my grandmother would say, there is a right person for everybody. And it's just, you know, it can take some time to find that person. And actually, you might have to go through several people before you find the right one. But there is a special, everybody has the special ability, the special talent, magical talent to connect with someone else in a way that is unique to them. And so that's the beauty of the multiplicity that we see in the human family and in the SDI family too, is there's something about that one person kind of in the background sitting in a chair all by himself or by herself that is gonna speak to just the right person in a unique way that might escape everybody else. So I think everybody who comes in has that special magical ability to connect in their own singular way through their own singular talents and expressions. And our job as SDI, as the holders of the space, is to facilitate that invitation so that everybody can come in. It's like, you're special, and as I was saying a moment ago, we're all walking miracles. And so bring your miracle in and let it marry with the miracles of others and create some greater miracles together or some greater expressions together.
Yeah.
And people that would like to do more with participation. I mean, we have our annual conference, can volunteer for that. We have regional gatherings. They could volunteer to help set those up, coordinate things like that. So we always have something going on somewhere in the world. So there's, I think, plenty of opportunities for people to give back to the organization, not just monetarily, but with their talents. Just have to raise their hand and say, hey, I want to help.
And the other two things that I think of is that for the first time ever, SDI has a diversity scholarship, whereby someone who's from financially challenging means is going to get training in spiritual companionship when they wouldn't otherwise. And so just giving whatever is comfortable for them to give can make a huge difference in somebody else's life who's going to go on to practice this practice that we all love. And the other part is the content part, whether they're responding on social media or to one of our blogs, whether they're responding to activities that we have like the conference or regional gatherings, they're adding to community by letting their voice be heard. And then, of course, because we're SDI, they're coming to listen and they're receiving other people. And that's at the core of what we do. I like to think of us as a movement. We're not just one-to-one, amazing things happen when you're with your spiritual companion. We're a movement to spread this amazing modality that allows people to connect with what's deep within them and find more fulfillment and realize that they can do that without investing any other money than just the time that they have. They can change their lives and therefore change the relationships that they have, impact their families, impact their communities and their cultures, simply through this idea of deep listening to another person, what that means for the other person and what it allows the other person to do. As they do that, as they even practice that deep listening in their everyday life, they're going to change their world, and we'll be there to encourage them every step of the way, and they too can let other people know, and that's how the movement spreads. So there's a lot they can do.
Where have you experienced oneness? What were you doing? What was it like? Contemplate this and challenge yourself to share this with a trusted person in your life. Or challenge yourself to offer this question to a trusted person and just listen to their response. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, I don't know anyone that I would trust this with. Well, we can help. We offer a searchable database of available spiritual companions on our website, www.sdiworld.org. This is Matt Whitney with Spiritual Directors International. Thanks again for listening. Your time and your presence here are deeply appreciated. If you liked this show and would like us to continue making them, please do subscribe now while it's fresh on your mind. Also, we would love to hear from you, so please feel free to send in your comments and suggestions to the email address podcast@sdiworld.org. To learn more about spiritual companionship and ways that you can plug in and join our community, visit us at our website at www.sdiworld.org. Thank you. Blessings and peace on your day, and may you share blessings and peace to others.